I really wanted to talk about and show you is how we've taken our NED system and enabled it to work off our AVR and create reports. And I'm looking forward to being able to do a lot of what Jared did, but we're not there yet. As this shows and as the program shows, Matt Charles, who is our statistical coordinator, put this presentation together. He's passionate about this, and sadly, we have a resource challenged state, as I've heard quite a bit, and I was the only one approved to go from our section. And so I am the INED's administrator, and I'll be walking you through this. Now, while I was preparing to travel here and waiting on a plane, this is what Matt was doing. That's Matt there. Some of you might have heard there was quite a significant political event that happened in Springfield, Illinois on Saturday, and this is where Matt was. I understand it was about 95 degrees and you had to wait for like 3 hours, so, but it looks like he's having a good time. Okay, just to give you a little background on what INEDS is, it's a custom-built NED solution. We started working on it back in 2004. It's developed using a modular schematic. Basically, we build modules, and we reuse a lot of our pages, but we add on to it specific pages for symptoms and risk factors. We have complete modules for all the communicable diseases, all the vaccine-preventable diseases, and we recently added tuberculosis. And if you're a state trying to put TIMS into your NEDS, I'm happy to share with you everything that we did. I think I said during my session earlier today, I think our TB module has over 300 business rules and validations. So if you would like to see some of that documentation, that code, we're happy to share it. We also have provider reporting, and the majority of our hospitals in the state are utilizing that, and that's working really well. It's only the really small rural hospitals that get a couple cases a year that aren't actively using it, and that's okay. And we also have electronic laboratory reporting. We're working on our STD module right now. We're actually in the phase of coding that, and we're doing analysis for HIV. And we were working on an aggregate influenza module and bringing in some of the Sentinel data and being able to display that on our AVR. And we're also preparing to be able to collect data in the event of a pandemic so that we can look at aggregate data on hospitalizations. And there are a few things I've neglected to mention that I wanted to also point out. We do have quite a bit of case management going on, and we also have outbreak management components within the system, and so we're able to, through the AVR, look at some outbreak data, and also to aggregate based on outbreak IDs, and to add questions as we unveil what the investigation shows. So just to give a little more background, we first deployed our AVR, analysis visualization reporting, is what that stands for, those might not be familiar, in the winter of 2005 on a really early version of Business Objects. And it was pretty limited, and our users were not real happy with it. And then we upgraded in the summer 2007 to the newer version of Business Objects, and this has served us really well. And it allows our users, and that's all users from the providers, the hospital ICP, to the local health department, to IDPH staff, who can all run canned reports, but they can also create their own ad hoc reports, and I'll demonstrate that a little bit. But we really started off with this as a premise, is people have to be able to get data out, and that means not just canned reports, but they have to be able to create their own reports. And that's one of the things that I think has made us it's pretty successful there. Our software, as I said, we use Business Objects, Web Intelligence, Crystal Reports to some degree, and a new product that we just added is WebAgeo, which provides a bridge, and I will actually show you a graphic on that. But that's the piece that we're really showing that's unique that we did to bridge the Business Objects and basically any business intelligence software to our GIS products. This just gives you a little bit about our data flow. Looks pretty similar to what you all use, but just to point out that we do have a data reporting repository where our transactional data is moved every 30 seconds. So we're refreshing our DRR every 30 seconds. So that's about all I really need to say about that. Our security is based on both disease, the role of the investigator, as well as the jurisdiction. And so when you log in, you're able to see just data for your jurisdiction, but you can also see aggregate data statewide. We have 95 local health departments in the state. All 95 health departments utilize INEDS. We also have a configuration by region. We don't have any hurricane issues, though. We do have tornadoes and floods. That's all I wanted to say about that. This is just a look at one of the views of a case report within INEDS, just to show that here is just a piece of data that is in the system, and here are in our AVR all those data, discrete data elements that can be put into a report. As I think I mentioned this already, through our AVR, you can really do three things. You can run a canned report, you can create an ad hoc report, and a third thing that we're using quite a bit is you can schedule reports. So you can say, one of the things we do in our CD program is in the morning and in the evening, we run a report that goes to their BlackBerry. We have, Matt said the other day, has so many scheduled reports going on that he's not even sure sometimes when somebody comes to a problem, he forgets that he had that one going. So that's a nice feature that we have. The canned reports are really developed to facilitate immediate access to data. You know, not everybody can even, it's sad, but not everybody can click and drag to create a report. And it's not quite that easy. You got to know your data in order to create a report, because if you don't realize that you have to condition your data by confirmed, probable, and not a cases, and you don't do that, you're going to think that you have a whole lot more cases than you do. So this is one thing we do to control and make sure that people are creating good reports. It allows a consistent display of our data, and also provides easy to operate user interface for less experienced user, which I just spoke on. This is an example of a prompt-based report. All of our canned reports are prompt-based, and so you can, a user, even though it's a canned report, they can drill down or look at the data in a lot of different ways. And generally, this is probably a fairly basic one, but some can get quite complicated. And this is just an example of a graphic display looking at pertussis data. One of the other unique things that the software can do for us is we can create variables as well. And so if we want to look at data, different age cohorts, or define a new variable in our data, we can do that very easily. With the ad hoc reporting, one of the things that the new version of Business Doc just gave us was higher level statistical. The old stuff, all it could do was count, it couldn't even do frequency. It could sum and give you a mean, and that was it. So we were pretty frustrated. Of course, we could always export the data, but the new version has quite a higher level statistical functionality. You can customize reports, and there's a high degree of output. You can do a graph, a pie, a table. You can turn things quite easily. Here's just another look at the ad hoc query building screen. And it is, you can either just double click or click and drag and move them all over. The top panel or pane here is the variables you're bringing in, and then here down here you can query your filter. And the nice thing is it filters your data for you and then gives you your options for what data that you want to bring in. Here's just a list of values being built with a query. The scheduled reports, as I said, this is something we're really starting to use a lot more and take advantage of, but they run automatically, so you don't have to remember to go in and run this report. They're generated automatically, and many times we can send them to BlackBerry, and the view you get on your BlackBerry is really nice. Okay, so what GIS, just listening to Jared, we are woefully behind in Illinois with GIS. We have two people that do GIS there, and therefore the whole agency, although we pay for them, they kind of get grabbed by the director's office quite a bit. But we've started this in 2004, and those GIS people were there in 2004, and they kept coming to me and saying, well, what do you want to do with GIS? And I said, I want to create a map. I want to have the cases, put them on a map. That's it. Well, they just kept coming back to me and asking the same questions, and I really didn't get it. I am not a technical person, but I just wasn't getting what was so hard. Well, the problem was, one was that we're a web-based application. It's just not that easy to give that functionality through a web-based. But the problem was, is taking our security. You know, when you log in to our system, it authenticates you, as I showed in that previous slide, against your role, your jurisdiction, and the diseases you can see. Well, in order to take and build a report and then push it in a map, we needed to have a way to bring that security with it so that we could go back and forth between a map and the reports. And that's really what we wanted to do. We knew that our local health departments could build a map. They could export the data and build their own maps. So we wanted to really provide something more. So as this slide says, you know, our development team was telling me it's going to take 2 to 3 years to customize a solution for that. And the development of a typical ARC IMS would require development and maintenance for an entire year to do that security piece. So I was frustrated. So what was our solution? We procured a product that acts as a bi-directional bridge between the ARC IMS and the business objects. And I'm going to show you a chart on that to explain a little bit further. It basically provides a handshake between our security model and the GIS component so that data can pass through and be mapped. And it allows users to run their canned report and then spatially look at the data. Then they can take the data and cluster it and then go back and run some more analysis on it. So this is a part I'm really looking forward to, because if I can look at be looking at a map and say, oh, something's going on here, I can identify that and then go back over into the reports and then run some more analysis on it and look a little bit deeper and see what's going on. So here's a map that I recognize the Galileo people that are in the audience here provided me. That kind of shows where we are. And what you need is just, we have business objects, but any business intelligence software would work there. And takes it through to, here's our bridge, basically, with the Galileo project here, product, the WebGeo, that then bridges it into the GIS application, which any GIS application can work through that. Okay, so what can we do in iNets now? We are currently in a test. We're testing it. We've been testing it for the last couple months, and we're going to hopefully be able to put it out in October. But we can create our reports, run our canned reports, and I don't know if you can see that very well. We have a tab here from this canned report that says run the table for me or run the business objects report, and then there'll be another tab that will be where the user can just click on, and then there's their map. So if I would run that, I'd click on the tab, and then there would be my map and all the GIS, beautiful GIS functionality that Jared showed you can do. And this one is just looking at, you know, different colors based on counts. Here's just some more of a case location, and then we will have all of these various layers that we can turn on and off, and we do have some of this already within the department, and we can bring those maps in. We are not as fully integrated as Jared is, but are certainly our bypass system. And all the systems that are using the business objects will be able to utilize this bridge technology with. Here you can just say, as Jared demonstrated as well, here I'm just going to zoom in on some of the specific points or click the points to identify the case, and that'll bring up the case details that I'd pulled in from my database. As I said, I'm currently in test release. Matt is going to call it the Matt Charles birthday release, because it's going to be released on his birthday. And we also plan at that point to bring in 2,000 census data within our AVR so we can start building some rates. So in summary, it's going to be a smooth integration with our existing software. It utilizes our common security, so a single sign-on for our logos, and the ability to bring in that security level, create your reports, bridge over to the GIS and back and forth. It's going to reduce future maintenance costs because of that, and the Enterprise application can be used across all of our programmatic areas. So it's consistent with that Finn vision of data integration, and someday hopefully we'll be where Jared is, and our administrator will be happy because he'll have his Fusion Center. And it really enables us to use those maps very rapidly, and then at some point to do some better spatial analysis. So thank you.